scares me.
At night, snow falls over Maisie's Diner, a white building behind a sign welcoming visitors to Covington, Maine. A bus pulls into the empty lot. Text, Hallmark Movies and Mysteries presents. Title, Time for Them to Come Home for Christmas. The door to the bus opens. A woman walks out into the snow with a suitcase and she pulls her coat tighter. Text, a time road for in Front Street Pictures production. She looks back at the bus driver then walks off. She sits at a booth in the diner eating pie. Text, Jesse Schramm.
Weatherman says we're getting 6 to 8 inches, which means we can expect 12.
Brendan Penning.
Anything else?
Just the check, please.
Thank you. You in town for the holidays?
Oh, just passing through.
Puts her coat on.
We'll be once the storm lets up.
Do you know where I might find a place to stay for the night? Covington Creek Inn, just across the bridge. Can't miss it. You have yourself a Merry Christmas.
You too.
The waitress walks away and she picks up the check. She opens her purse and puts a card in the checkbook. She notices a pin in the checkbook and places it on the lapel of her coat. It says Maisie's Diner Merry Christmas. She puts on her blue hat with a pom-pom. The waitress is cleaning off the table one down from hers. She stands and wheels her suitcase out. The waitress comes over to her table and picks up the checkbook which she looks at and puts in her apron. She spots something else on the table. We move to see a newspaper clipping next to the half-eaten piece of pie. She picks it up and reads. She looks towards the door, then back at the clipping which she folds and puts in her apron. She clears off the table. The woman in the pom-pom hat walks through the snow. Text, based upon the book, Time for Me to Come Home by Dorothy Shackelford and Travis Thrasher. Directed by Peter Benson, she walks over a bridge, a car comes up behind her and starts to slide out of control. Snow falls outside Covington Care emergency room that is decorated with Christmas lights. A nurse with his jacket on.
Y'all have a good night.
Careful on those roads.
You still on for Domino's tomorrow?
If you promise to go easy on me.
I'll think about it.
She wheels the patient down the hall. The front desk of the ER.
Any luck?
No, the lines are still down. John is stuck in traffic and Bobby is home alone. If the power goes, he's gonna need help with the generator.
How much longer on your shift?
I'm here till 1.
She turns back to the desk and he looks down.
I'll cover for you. Head home.
No, Paul.
I still don't have the snow tires on my car. It's probably best to give the plows a head start.
Her mouth agape.
Thank you. I will make it up to you.
It's fine.
Hey, are you still looking for someone to cover your shift over Christmas?
I thought you were going to your folks for Christmas.
Well, we decided to stay and do something small here.
He furrows his brow.
Amy said that you were talking about going home.
He shrugs.
You know, between the two of us, we could cover your whole week.
Are you talking about Christmas?
Yeah. Let us do this for you, Paul. You should go.
We've got incoming. What have you got?
Pulled her from the river about 15 minutes ago. Let's go.
All right.
The woman from the bridge is wheeled in on a gurney. The sheriff walks in and watches her being wheeled off. He looks down at her coat that he's carrying.
Well, she's lucky you found her when you did. Any longer in that water and the outcome could have been very different.
Is she going to be okay?
Yeah, she's stable. CAT scan revealed a minor concussion. We're able to locate her family.
She's not a local. And we didn't recover any identification at the scene. But if she did have any, it's probably long gone by now.
Paul overhears them.
She's alone?
As of now, we'll do our best to rectify that.
She lays in the hospital bed unconscious. At the front desk that's decorated for Christmas, Paul puts on his jacket and checks his phone. He has 2 missed calls, one from Katie and one unknown. He smiles and leaves. Windshield wipers brush snow off of Paul's car as he listens to the message from the unknown caller.
Mr. Bennett, this is Carl Wagner of Venture Insurance with a great offer this holiday season for you. I'm calling with them.
He smiles, then it fades as he looks as one saved message from Ben.
Hey, Paul, it's Ben. Just checking in to see if there's any word on you getting some time off. You know, we'd love to have you down here for Christmas.
Hey, tell him what I said.
All right, I'll let him know. Marissa wants me to tell you that she's making your favorite apple pie.
With homemade ice cream. I love you, Polly.
Okay, he's sufficiently bribed, he's good. Anyway, I hope to see you soon. miss you, little brother. I know we have a lot to catch up on, but it's not all bad news. I swear. Look, we'll talk about it when you get here.
He saves the message. Through the rearview mirror, we see his eyes lower and head bow slightly. He sits in the snowy parking lot with his lights and wipers on. Daytime, the town is dusted with snow and decorated for Christmas. The entrance to the ER.
Oh, the sheriff stopped by earlier. He was hoping to talk to that young woman they brought in last night, but she's still not up.
Were they able to figure out who she is?
No, I guess we won't know until she tells us.
Roberta and Paul walk down the hall. The woman from the bridge accident lays in bed unconscious. Paul walks into her room looking at his clipboard.
Good morning.
He walks to the window.
Let's get a little sunshine in here for you.
He opens the blinds, checks a medical instrument, and talks to her as she lays there.
Everybody's very eager for you to wake up. You see, everyone knows everyone in this town, except no one seems to know you. For now, you are quite the mystery.
Her eyes blink open. She turns her head and looks around.
Where am I?
He sees she's up.
Where am I?
It's okay. You're fine. You're safe. You're in the hospital.
Hospital? What?
You took a little spill last night into the river. You've got a mild concussion, a few bumps and bruises. Yeah, it's gonna be sore for a bit. But Dr. Grant's gonna come in. He's gonna give you something for the pain, okay?
She rubs the back of her head and nods.
Now, what's your name?
She pauses. He lowers his head expectantly.
I don't know.
We move in to see her furrowed brow. She shakes her head.
I don't know.
Okay, it's okay.
He smiles. She looks at a machine next to her. A light is shown into our eyes by the doctor.
I remember waking up here and talking to...
She looks to Paul.
Paul.
Paul. But when I try to remember anything before, there's nothing.
He turns off the light.
Okay. Well, between the impact from your fall and the time spent in the water, normally you'd be looking at acute trauma to the temporal lobe, which can result in retrograde amnesia.
She furrows her brow.
But I still remember things. I can walk. I can talk.
Yes, those are procedural and motor related, likely unaffected. Our minds and our bodies do unique things to protect us. And to be honest, your symptoms are not even a textbook scenario. This is a rare case. It's quite possible that you're going to recall all kinds of things.
Just not who I am.
Paul pinches his brow together quickly. Her eyes widen.
Well, do we know how long this lasts?
There's no set time frame for recovery. The best thing you can do is surround yourself with familiar things.
Okay, well, do we know how I got in the water? Was there anybody with me?
The accident was reported by the motorists involved. It was late. You were attempting to cross the bridge alone. The car turned into its skid and you fell over the guardrail, trying to avoid it. I'm afraid we're still trying to track down your family.
Okay, so is there anybody looking for me?
The storm made a mess of a lot of things out here. There's power outages all over the state. Phone lines were down.
Okay, and where is here?
Covington, Maine.
She throws up her hands and shakes her head.
Listen, for now, I think the best thing is for you to just rest up.
She nods and twists her mouth.
I'll let you know the minute we make contact.
She continues nodding and looks down. Paul smiles and leaves the room. She watches them go. She slowly looks around her as tears well in her eyes. She places an ice pack on her head. She looks in the mirror and touches her cheek with her hand and turns her face left then right. She studies her face in the mirror. She blinks and lowers her hand. She continues to search her face. An officer raises his phone with a picture of her on it.
She had a pin from the diner on her?
Oh, sure, I served her last night. Never did get a name, though.
Did she pay with a card?
A cash. I'll be right back. Give me a minute.
Did she say anything about where she was going or coming from?
Just that she was looking for a spot to ride out the storm for the night. Oh, and she left this behind. I hung on to it in case she came back. It seemed like it might be important.
She reaches in a checkbook and hands him the note that the woman left on the table. It's a newspaper clipping that reads, Charleston counts down to annual tree lighting Christmas Eve 7 to 8 p.m.
Paul, any chance I can get a few minutes with our Jane Doe?
Yeah, she's in room 4.
Well, that's the thing, son. She's not.
They stop walking.
Give me a minute.
The sheriff watches him go. She sits playing dominoes.
I like this game.
But Paul walks by then pops back.
Doubles are always placed crossways at the end of the chain.
Paul,
Pull up a chair. Join us.
You are supposed to be in bed.
I was getting stir crazy staring at the same four walls. Can I put this here?
She places a domino.
You don't want to do that.
Yeah, yes, you do want to do that.
Smiles, boy.
Sheriff Crowley's here. He needs to speak with you.
The police have new information?
I don't know, but just hang tight. I'll grab the wheelchair, okay?
I need a wheelchair.
It's hospital policy.
He raises his palm.
Thank you for the cake.
Come back anytime.
Hey, whoa, wait.
She walks out. Paul points at Mrs. Hernandez.
You coming?
He follows her out. They stand with the sheriff in her room.
Charleston, South Carolina. That ring any bells?
No.
Well, we think that might be where you were headed.
He hands her the newspaper clipping.
Charleston counts down to annual tree lighting.
You ducked into Maisie's diner last night. You had some cherry pie and a cup of coffee. And the waitress found that on the table after you left.
She shakes her head.
This is all?
Turn it over.
She reads the back.
Please come, Mark.
She furrows her brow and turns and looks away.
Mark.
She brings her hand to her mouth and takes a few steps.
Anything?
She throws her hands up and shakes her head. The sheriff smiles.
That's all right. And we reached out to the sheriff's department in Charleston. They're checking in with the festival committee and see if they know who that might be. In the meantime, you hold on to that. If anything comes back to you, just give me a shout.
She nods. The sheriff leaves. She stares at the clipping.
I should get back to my rounds, but is there anything I can get you before I go?
You know what?
She looks at him.
I could go for some pie.
He furrows his brow. He sets down a piece of pie and a coffee on her tray.
One slice of cherry, one hot coffee straight from Maisie's diner. Anything will help?
Well, Dr. Grant says I need to surround myself with familiar things, so...
She raises her coffee cup, then takes a sip.
Nope. I don't know why anyone would drink that.
Okay, hold on. Because I got you covered.
He reaches in his pocket and brings out creamer and sugar.
Try this.
She adds some sugar to the coffee.
Okay.
She takes another sip.
Better.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
He smiles. She smiles, too.
Okay. Let's see if that pie rings any bells.
She takes a forkful of pie and stares at it while she twirls it on her fork for a moment. She takes a bite and slowly chews. He watches her eat it. She lifts her hand.
Needs ice cream.
I checked with Eleanor. You had it plain.
No bells.
She looks down at it.
It was a good thought.
She nods. He furrows his brow.
I just realized, I'm not sure what I should call you.
Well, Dr. Grant has decided on Jane, so...
Okay.
He nods and smiles as she eats the pie. She eats and gestures her fork at him.
What's your story?
You want to talk about me?
Well, we could talk about me, but that would be a very short conversation. So... Where'd you grow up? Did you grow up around here?
I'm from Georgia, a little town called Pickering.
Well, do you have family there?
He nods.
Some.
Are you going home for Christmas?
He looks off.
I was thinking about heading down there.
He looks down. She studies him.
You're undecided.
It's complicated.
Well, hey, now that Sheriff Crowley has his first real clue, you know, it's only a matter of time till somebody walks through that door and claims me. Right?
Right.
They both nod.
I'm gonna see if I can find you some ice cream for that pie, okay?
Thank you.
He leaves. She picks up her fork and takes another bite of pie. Paul walks past a calendar with the 18th of December being crossed off. We watch as Paul, Jane, and Mrs. Hernandez play dominoes. 19 is crossed off on the calendar. Paul, Jane, and Roberta are wrapping presents at the front desk. An ambulance drives by the entrance to the hospital. Roberta crosses off 20 on the calendar.
They really don't have any leads?
No, they can't find anyone who knows her.
Poor girl.
They walk separate ways. Jane hangs up decorations.
All right. I think that's enough. There might be more snowflakes in here than there are outside. Thanks for your help.
Yeah, of course.
Jane surveys her work.
Merry Christmas.
Mrs. Hernandez hugs her family in the lobby. Jane watches them. Paul enters and stands next to her. They smile at each other.
I told you I'd be home for Christmas.
Dr. Grant says most people get their memories back.
She purses her lips.
Which means some don't.
Recovery's a long process, but you're gonna get there.
I've been here almost a week. Phone lines are back up. Chef Crowley's shown my picture to half the town. I don't think anybody's looking for me.
Well, maybe they want to be here, but they just can't be.
Why not?
Things come up. People get stuck. Sometimes it's not as easy as it should be to get to the places that were needed.
She studies him. He smiles.
Have you decided yet? If you're going home?
He reaches the back of his head.
Yeah, I actually waited too long to decide, so all the flights are booked. Maybe next year.
She shakes her head.
I think you should. You should go. I know you said it's complicated, but no reason both of us should be alone on Christmas.
They look at each other. She taps his arm and he politely smiles and walks away. Mrs. Hernandez walks out with her family. Jane watches them go. The clock reads 12:03.
Hey.
I thought your shift ended a while ago.
It did, but I just had to do something before I left. About Christmas. Is your offer to cover my shift still stand?
Of course.
Well, great, thanks.
Yeah.
He walks away. Amy watches him go from the front desk and smiles. The entrance to the hospital. Jane lays in bed. She turns over and spots something twinkling in her room. She looks to the door, then back to the twinkling. It's a small Christmas tree with lights, ribbons, and ornaments. She gets out of bed and walks over to it. She smiles and touches the branches. She admires the tree. She picks up the newspaper clipping. She turns it over. She looks up and sets her jaw. Paul walks up to the desk with a present.
Hey, I thought you'd be on the road by now.
Car's all packed. I want to drop this off. Just a little thank you for covering my shifts.
Oh, well, I am happy to do it. I'm glad you're going home, Paul. It'll be good for you. Good to see them.
She looks down.
Anyway, you have a safe trip. You need anything at all, you let us know.
I will. Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Please, just reconsider. At least until we can find someone to help you.
You can't keep me here. I have to do this.
What's going on?
They told me you left.
I was just about to. Where are you going?
Nowhere.
I can't just sit here and wait for somebody to find me. I've tried that and it's not working.
Releasing you in your current condition is not in your best interest.
Before I fell in that water, I was on my way to the tree lighting ceremony. I will find my answers there. I know I will. And you were the one that told me I need to surround myself with familiar things. I can't do that here. Christmas Eve is in 2 days. I can't wait any longer.
How do you expect to get there? South Carolina is a long way.
I will pawn my watch. Buy a plane ticket.
They will never let you on the flight. You don't have ID.
I will find a way. That is where I was going, and that is where I will go.
I could take her.
She looks to him, brow furrowed.
It's on my way.
She tilts her head forward.
You'd really do that?
He looks to the sheriff.
You need to get home. So do I.
She raises her eyebrows and looks to the sheriff, who looks at the doctor.
All right, follow me. We'll get your paperwork started.
She smiles at Paul, who smiles back. She follows the doctor, turns back briefly, then continues down the hall after him. The sheriff shoots Paul a look, who smiles after her.
Ooh. Are you sure about this, son?
Paul stares at him, the sheriff smiles and walks after them. Paul contemplates this, then furrows his brow. The sheriff hands Jane a cell phone in the hallway.
Okay, this has 3 hours on it, but you can always add more. I put the station's number in there as one of your contacts, so you can stay up to date on things going on back here. Now, listen, if you get to the tree lighting and you don't find what you're looking for, the second contact in there is Sheriff Connie Hargrove from Charleston, and she'll be expecting your call.
I really appreciate this.
The sheriff smiles.
My pleasure. Now, is there anything else you need? Your clothing? Or...
Oh, no, we've got that covered. We ran over to the store. Birdie took a peek at your tags. Should be the right sizes.
Yep.
Oh, and a little pocket money. Get you where you're going. We took up a collection.
Jane looks at the gifts.
Oh. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
She smiles and nods.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I need to make a few adjustments to our route if we're going to make it to that tree lighting on the 24th. Mm-hmm. I was able to get another room at the B&B tonight, but still nothing for tomorrow. Everything's all booked up.
Thank you for doing this.
It'll be fun. It'd be nice to have a co-pilot. Someone to read the map in case I get lost.
Do you plan on getting lost?
No one plans on getting lost.
Hey, thanks for that tree.
He frowns and looks down.
I know it was you.
Might have been Santa.
She scoffs at him.
This is me. And I know that she doesn't look like much, but she'll get us where we need to be.
He puts her bags in the car.
Hey, I promise I'll pay you back. I'm gonna pay everybody back, you know, once we get to Charleston and I find my life again.
I know.
He smiles. She nods. He gets in the car. She looks back to the entrance of the hospital where Roberta, Amy, the doctor, and the sheriff all wave to her. She waves back. The car drives along a country road. She looks out the front window.
What's in Covington?
What do you mean?
Like, what are you guys known for?
Ah, well, we are 20 minutes from the Canadian border. Population, under 5,000.
Okay. So, if I was going to South Carolina for Christmas, what was I doing all the way up here?
Maybe you were on a work trip.
The middle of nowhere?
Covington isn't nowhere.
Mm.
It's just north of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
They both smile. The car drives along the frozen road. She rereads the newspaper clipping, turning it over.
Any idea how you're gonna find Mark when you get there?
Hoping he'll find me.
The windshield wipers clear occasional snowflakes from the window.
Who do you think he is?
Relative? Friend?
Husband.
She looks at him, her brow furrowed.
Never occurred to you that you might be married?
Well, I don't have a ring.
Could have fallen off in the water.
She considers this. She looks back at the clipping, then looks at the road, her eyes narrowed. She looks out the side window, then back at the clipping. They drive down a road with a forest of tall conifers on both sides. The car is parked. They eat in the car. He clicks off the radio. She furrows her brow.
I was liking that song.
You ever had a song come on the radio and it's a little too close to home?
She shrugs, then looks in her food bag.
Oh, they didn't give us napkins.
Glove compartment.
She opens the glove compartment to find a wrapped present box. She shakes it and looks at him, then opens the card on the present.
Ben. Who's Ben?
My brother.
I have a brother. Is he older or younger?
He's older.
Is that who you're spending Christmas with?
I missed last Christmas. I couldn't miss another one.
He hands her a napkin.
Here.
Thank you.
Trade you an onion ring for a french fry?
Yes, please.
Okay.
They switch containers.
Much rather try these.
She takes a bite. Snow falls as their car passes a sign that says Welcome to Connecticut Constitution State. Paul looks over to see Jane asleep in the passenger seat. He smiles and turns the volume down on the radio. She adjusts and settles in her sleep. Paul smiles and drives. Paul's car pulls up to a yellow inn decorated with Christmas lights. Indoors, we move past a small tabletop Christmas tree to find a woman reading. Paul walks in.
Hello, hello. You must be Mr. Bennett. I'm Barbara. We spoke on the phone.
Sorry for the late check-in.
Oh, sometimes it takes us longer to get where we're going, especially around the holidays. First door and second door at the top of the stairs.
Great. Thank you.
Have a good evening.
Good night.
She hands them keys and they walk up the stairs. An old black and white movie on the TV.
Come in.
Paul walks in.
Hey. If it's okay, I'd like to be on the road by 8 in the morning.
Yeah, of course.
Be on tomorrow.
Sergeant, Oh, yeah, I just turned it on. Have you seen it?
I used to watch this with my parents.
They watch the movie.
Yes, well, I'm broad enough now.
Is that your laugh?
No.
That,
it is.
No, it's not.
There's no use in denying it. We both heard it. That was it. It was it.
She covers her mouth.
This does not leave this room.
It's okay. Oh, do this again. I like it. It's a good laugh.
Hey, do you want to watch this with me?
Yeah.
They sit and watch the movie.
How could she just leave him? After all they've been through.
I guess she thinks it will make him happy.
She yawns.
It's getting late. You should get some rest.
Oh, I'm not tired.
He nods.
Yeah, my mistake.
They laugh. He stands. She does also, hugging a pillow.
Good night, Jane.
Good night, Paul.
He leaves. He turns back and smiles at her when she returns. She looks at the TV and hugs the pillow tight, then walks to the bed. She folds the clothes from the bags the nurses gave her. She takes out a small blue box and opens it to reveal a pair of sparkly earrings in the shape of a snowflake. She takes one out and holds one up to her ear and looks in the mirror and smiles. Her smile fades as the screen turns to white, then Jane is holding up a different earring in a mirror.
Yeah, my flight gets in at 4. I'm excited to see you too. I have some news.
It flashes white again, then Jane in present day takes her hand down from her ear and looks at the earring. She furrows her brow, then looks at herself in the mirror, then back to the earring. Daytime at the Yellow Inn. Jane takes a muffin off the breakfast buffet as Paul walks in.
Morning.
Morning.
She hands him a plate.
Thanks. Wow, this looks great.
She nods but doesn't look up.
Is everything all right?
She looks up at him and down.
Fine.
They pour juice and coffee. She turns to him.
I think I remembered something.
What was it?
I'm not sure. It's a phone call? I don't know. It went really fast and it was hard to understand.
It's a good thing, right? It means your memory's starting to come back.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking to come back at once, not in small, little, confusing pieces.
Well, enough little pieces come back, eventually you have the bigger picture.
Good morning.
Morning.
I hope you slept well.
Great, thank you.
When you've finished, you're welcome to help decorate the tree.
Thank you for the invitation, but we've got a really big day ahead of us on the road.
Of course, I understand. Well, when you're all ready, I'll get you all checked out.
She walks away with a box of Christmas decorations. Jane tilts her head and looks up at him.
We can't let her decorate that whole Christmas tree by herself.
We don't have time. Maybe one of the other guests will help her.
She looks around.
There's no other guests.
He looks off.
Okay.
So, someone's waiting for you at this tree lighting.
That's the hope.
And you really don't remember anything.
She shakes her head.
No.
She opens a box and unfurls tissue paper to reveal a reindeer ornament.
Oh, did you make this?
She holds it up to Barbara.
No, that's my late husband Martin's handiwork. He carved a new one every Christmas.
She takes the box and the reindeer from her and puts it away.
You're not going to put it on the tree?
No, it was a tradition we shared. Doesn't feel right to do it without you. Now, would you care to do the honors?
She holds up a bow.
Hey? You're the tallest one, and I don't have a step stool.
He takes the bow.
Sure.
He places it on the top of the tree.
Oh. Do you always make your own bows?
I had Martin pick out the ribbons. For the first 20 years of our marriage, I couldn't talk him into anything besides plain red. Nothing wrong with the classics, he used to say.
Jane admires the bow, then looks back to Barbara.
Perhaps what you're going through is a blessing.
Jane furrows her brow.
You've got a clean slate. There's no melancholy memories to dwell on.
She quickly looks away.
No regrets?
Barbara nods. Jane shrugs.
No happy memories either.
Barbara's eyes lower, then she looks to the top of the tree. Jane adjusts the ribbon, a sign on the inn reading bed and breakfast. Paul and Jane exit the inn.
So we're gonna have to skip our lunch stop if we want to make it to Lexington by 8.
Worth it though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, good. I didn't miss you.
Barbara runs out with a bag.
Just a little something for you. I thought it might help to write down what you know about yourself. Keep it all sorted out.
Jane holds a journal.
The North Star has guided many a weary traveler home again.
Jane smiles and shakes her head.
Thank you.
You stay strong. Keep your chin up. God gives the strongest soldiers the toughest battles.
Jane nods, then smiles at the journal.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Barbara goes back into the house as Jane looks again at the journal, then holds it to her heart and closes her eyes. The sheriff at Maisie's diner counter.
Ellie, I know you. There's no way anyone gets out of your booth without giving up their life story.
Not this one. She was real quiet. Honestly, she seemed a little blue.
You told my deputy that she had a purse and a suitcase?
Mm-hmm, that's right.
But you can't describe either of them?
She puts the sugar down and turns to him.
The suitcase was purple. And it had letters on it.
Letters? What do you mean?
Yeah, a monogram. An R, maybe, or a B.
All right, well, we have a purple suitcase and a monogram.
Anything else, Sheriff?
Yeah, how about some of that famous homemade pie?
She nods and turns to pick up a plate.
Now, you know as well as I do that river stretches for miles. That bag might be halfway to the Piscataqua by now.
Yeah, it could be. Now, how about that pie?
She smiles.
You got it, Sheriff.
She uncovers the cherry pie and reaches for the pie server. We watch a leaf float down a river. In a snowbank on the side of the river, we see the purple suitcase covered in branches and snow. Paul's car is parked at Humble Roots Cafe in Delhi. Jane writes in the journal at a table. Paul walks over from the counter with two coffee cups.
Any news from Sheriff Crowley?
He said that they put out an alert on the suitcases I was carrying, and one had a monogram.
Then you must have someone in your life.
Huh?
No one buys themselves monogram luggage.
She twists her mouth. He smiles. She gestures to the two cups.
What are these?
Okay, you're about to make a very important self-discovery.
Huh?
Are you an eggnog kind of person, or hot cocoa?
What are you?
I don't want to unduly influence your selection.
Okay.
She points to the eggnog.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
You sure?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
She takes a sip.
So?
It's good.
Good.
It's good.
Yeah?
Yeah. So you're really not going to tell me which one you prefer?
No.
That's not fair.
Can't let you hog all the mystery.
He holds the cocoa. She eyes it.
You want the cocoa, don't you? Yeah.
They switch drinks.
Oh, the guy at the counter gave me a lead on the hotel for the night, and I already looked it up.
He dials on his phone. She writes in her journal.
Hi. Yeah, I would like to book two rooms for this evening. I know it's almost Christmas, but your website listed a vacancy.
She looks at Jane and shakes his head.
I understand. Merry Christmas to you too.
He hangs up.
Well, this might be more difficult than I thought.
We could sleep in the car.
Am I going to sleep in the car?
Well, then what are we going to do?
I have some family nearby.
just outside of Charlottesville, maybe an hour.
Really?
Yeah, my cousin Jack and his wife Katie.
Well, do you think that they'd let us spend the night?
He nods and lowers his eyes.
But unless you'd rather we didn't.
He contemplates this.
No, I'll make the call.
She frowns and raises her brows.
Okay.
He dials. Paul's car pulls up to a house with a wraparound porch decorated for Christmas. A man opens the door.
Merry Christmas!
Come in, come in.
Thank you so much for having us. I know it was last minute.
Oh, are you kidding me? We're happy to have you. Sweetheart, Paul's here.
Katie made up the couch in the den.
Oh, you know, I could take the couch. You've done so much for me already.
It's probably better for my back anyway.
Paul! Merry Christmas.
A pregnant woman hugs Paul.
I missed you.
This is my friend Jane.
You have such a lovely home.
Oh, thank you. It's so nice to meet you. Come with me. I'll show you to your room.
Oh, thank you.
She leads her down the hall.
I'm glad you're here. It's been too long.
Yeah.
I want you to know we all understood why you did what you did. I know you think you have to carry this alone, but the...
Paul!
Hey, bud, how are you?
He's only asked when you were getting here every 15 minutes.
I got a new sled. Do you want to see?
Yeah.
Why don't you help Paul with his bags first?
Okay.
You got it?
The kid carries his bag off.
So how do you and Paul know each other?
Oh, we met at the hospital.
She looks up at Jane.
I thought you two were... Well, I thought the two of you...
Oh, no, no. We're just, we're friends.
She smiles.
Oh.
Yeah. When are you due?
3 more months. Can't come soon enough. I am ready for this little guy to join us.
It's a boy.
She nods.
We thought about keeping it a surprise, but that lasted until my 3rd sonogram.
Jane watches her prepare the food.
Are you sure I can't help?
No, I am almost finished. Hand me that can of cream of mushroom soup.
She opens the oven and pulls out a skillet of scalloped potatoes. She picks it up and puts it in the center of the table next to a turkey.
All right, everyone, dig in.
I know what I'm starting with. These scalloped potatoes look amazing.
Oh, well, Dane, help.
I just handed you the can.
They eat by at the table.
So, how's the little guy?
He's finally asleep.
Oh, this pie is out of this world, and apparently I know my pies.
Jack's the chef.
Really?
I work downtown at a hotel off the square.
Have you ever considered opening up a restaurant or something?
As a matter of fact, he found the perfect location.
We have a baby on the way. The restaurant can wait.
He said the same thing when Charlie was born.
It wasn't the right time.
You know, you never know what life will bring. So why save dreams for tomorrow when there is a perfectly good today, right?
Right.
So, have you settled on any names? Mm.
They look at each other.
We were thinking about Ben.
Oh, like your brother?
Yeah.
He puts his mug down.
Well, I'm sure that he's very flattered. Have you told him yet?
Their faces fall.
Ben passed away last January.
Paul averts his gaze. Katie lowers her eyes. Paul tenses his face.
Excuse me for a second.
He leaves the table.
I better go see if he's
okay. Just give him a minute.
Katie stops him. Jane looks to where Paul went, then looks to Katie and Jack, concerned. Paul sits out on the porch, his head resting in his hand. Jane comes out, putting her coat on. She walks over and sits next to him. He glances at her.
Why didn't she say anything?
He looks at her.
You got your own problems. You don't need to listen to mine.
He looks down.
I'd like to.
He looks back at her.
I wasn't there. I was supposed to visit last Christmas. I spent every Christmas with Ben and his wife. I couldn't get work off.
He looks down and out. She watches him.
At least that's what I told them.
They both look down.
That's what I told myself.
He shakes his head slightly, then looks down at his hands.
Truth is, it was really hard to see him that way. You know, sick.
He looks out.
I see that kind of thing every day at work, but it's different when it's someone you love.
She watches him with a furrowed brow. He wipes away a tear.
You know, he was doing good. He was doing really, really good fighting the cancer.
He looks up, his eyes darting.
It was just that one Christmas. I just told myself I needed more time.
He bites his lip.
Thought I had more time.
She takes his hand. He holds her hand in his. He looks up at her.
You know, I've never told anyone that before.
She shakes her head.
So sorry.
I have the gift that I bought him last year, and I'm bringing it to him to say goodbye.
They look into each other's eyes on the porch. She takes both of his hands. He glances inside, then looks to her. Katie and Jack's house lit up at night. We move past a snow globe to the couch where Paul is tossing and turning. He opens his eyes. He gets up. Jane is sitting at the kitchen counter writing in her journal wearing her Christmas pajamas. Paul appears in the doorway.
Couldn't sleep?
She looks up and shakes her head.
Remember something?
Oh, no,
He sits with her.
I'm writing this story.
Story?
Yeah.
She leans over the journal.
I can't remember anything about my own life, but I just keep having all these thoughts springing up. I needed to put them somewhere, so after I started, I just couldn't stop.
Can I read it?
Maybe no. No, maybe when it's done, but no.
She closes it.
How about you?
I just need a glass of water.
He reaches for the water.
Is that it?
He smiles as he pours himself a glass.
I guess not.
What else to talk about him? What was he like?
He's great. Smart. Kind. Really outdoors. He loved fishing.
He holds up a finger.
In fact, I think I have.
He scrolls through his phone.
Yeah, there. We rented a cabin on a lake a few years back.
Oh my gosh, how big is that fish?
It's not that big, but it was bigger than anything I caught, and he definitely didn't let me forget about that.
He swipes to a picture of him and Ben.
This is at the graduation from my nursing school.
Seemed like he was really proud of you.
Yeah, I guess so.
He swipes to another photo.
I haven't looked at these in a long time.
He furrows his brow as he zooms in.
Do you have more?
He raises his brow.
Yeah, sure.
He shows another one. She leans over to zoom in and he gazes at her hair. Morning. Paul opens the trunk of his car and puts his bag in.
Hey, Paul.
Hey.
Well, last night, I didn't mean to upset you.
You know, I thought it'd be easier to just push the memories of him away, but it was like losing him all over again. I don't want to forget him. Ben is a great name, and he would be honored if he chose it.
He smiles.
Sure you can't stay a little longer?
No. We need to hit the road if we're going to make it to Charleston by 7. Listen, you should think about the restaurant, like Jane said. Don't wait.
Jack smiles.
All right, I should head out there, see if she's ready.
Oh, you won't find her there. She's playing with Charlie in the backyard.
Paul smiles. Paul walks behind the house and looks around. A snowball hits him from the right.
Oh! You
He points to Charlie.
Hey, come on, come on.
Jane grabs his arm and they crouch behind the shed.
Oh, you gave up our position. We don't have much time.
What?
On the count of three, I go right, you go left. You with me?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay. One, two, three, go!
They run out with their snowballs.
Ow!
Charlie, Paul, and Jane throw snowballs at each other. Jack and Katie watch the snowball fight from inside and smile. Charlie nails Paul with a snowball and Jane laughs.
You give us a call when you're all settled in.
Will do.
It's real nice to meet you. Don't be a stranger.
I won't.
They hug.
Sorry. Not as fast as I used to be.
Katie hugs Paul.
Merry Christmas, Paul.
Merry Christmas.
It's been so nice to see you like this.
Furrows his brow.
Happy.
Katie hands Jane a bag.
I thought you could use this.
Oh my gosh, thank you.
All good.
Thank you so much for having us.
Anytime.
Katie hugs Jane.
Okay, well, Merry Christmas. Merry Thanks so much.
Merry Christmas.
Can I take that for you?
Sure.
Great.
Hey, do you want me to drive?
You don't have a license.
Well, it's not fair that you need to drive the entire way.
Well, it might not be fair, but it's legal.
You can barely keep your eyes open.
My eyes are fine.
I'm gonna take these. Thank you so much.
She reaches for the knob.
Wait.
Flash of white. Jane turns around.
Please don't do this.
Jane stares at the man.
Jane.
Another flash of white. Jane turns around to Paul.
You okay?
She furrows her brow.
Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah. You know what? You're right. You should drive.
She hands him the keys, nods and turns to the door. He follows. Jane sits with her brow tensed in the passenger seat as the wipers move back and forth. She looks out the window. Paul glances over at her.
Got quite the arm. Wonder if he used to play baseball.
He smiles at her. She looks at him blankly. He checks the gas gauge. It's close to empty.
We need gas. We should probably stop up here.
Grab lunch?
She nods. They look ahead as they drive. He glances over to her, his brow furrowed. They stroll through a Christmas market.
We're making great time.
Yeah, it's not that, it's just... I remember something else.
What was it?
Well, I was in a house, and there was a man there, and I was leaving. Felt like we got in a fight.
He looks at her.
Who was he to you?
I don't know.
Think it's the same person from the letters? Mark?
Maybe. I mean, he looked hurt. You know, it looked like I hurt him or something. I don't know, I've been so desperate to fill in these blanks, you know, I haven't stopped to consider that maybe I might not like what I find. You know, maybe my subconscious is trying to hide something from me, like, what if I'm just a terrible person?
He stops.
You're not a terrible person.
Well, how do you know that?
Because I know you.
I don't even know me.
He shakes his head slightly.
You don't see it, do you?
She lowers her eyes.
The effect that you have on people, you've got this light in you.
He smiles.
It's obvious to anyone who spends 5 minutes with you.
She looks down and smacks her lips.
You've made me some mistakes in the past, we all have. But it doesn't define who you are in the future. Mistakes can be forgiven.
She twists from side to side slightly and smiles a pursed-lip smile. She turns, glances back at him then walks away, he follows. She writes in her journal, chin resting on her hand, as they sit having lunch.
You working on your story?
Try to figure out the ending.
Hope it's a happy one.
Me too.
He checks his phone.
Stone Street Inn, confirming my reservation.
Stone Street Inn?
Yeah, it's the nicest hotel in Pickering. To be fair, it's the only hotel in Pickering, but still very nice.
Well, I thought that you'd be staying with family.
He lowers his eyes.
My parents passed a few years ago.
Well, what about your sister-in-law?
He looks up and takes a sip.
We haven't spoken.
Why not?
It's like I said, I wasn't there for Ben. Marissa was furious. I don't blame her.
Well, so you're going all the way home and you're not going to see anyone?
I'm going to see my brother.
She stares at him.
You just told me that mistakes can be forgiven.
He looks down, forces a smile, then looks to her.
Some can. This one can't.
She tilts her head and studies him. She sits up straighter.
I get this.
She gets up, picks up the tray, and walks away, leaving her journal on the table. Paul leans his forearms on the table. Jane walks up to a stall in the market with snow globes. She picks one up and looks at it. She puts it down and picks up a green hat. Hands close a handwritten letter and put it in a red envelope. We move back to reveal it's Paul. He puts the letter in his jacket pocket. Jane approaches and sits down with him with her hands behind her back.
Traffic looks good. We should hit Charleston by 6.
Close your eyes.
He eyes her.
Close your eyes.
He closes his eyes.
Hold out your hands.
He holds out his palms. She places the green hat in them.
Open them.
He furrows his brow.
What's this for?
A gift. Try it in. Come on. Come on.
She puts it on his head. He smiles as she adjusts the hat. She smiles and rests her chin in her hands.
How do I look?
Something to remember me by.
They gaze at each other.
Come on. Let's head back to the car.
They walk off. A ho-ho-ho ornament hangs on a wreath. We see a band playing in the market.
There's music in the city.
I think the universe wants you to listen.
Display. There's a big old tree for all to see. Where the children
pretty
run
catchy.
And play.
They stop and watch the band play.
Look out through my window.
He twirls her around.
Oh.
Something just don't seem right.
There you go.
Till I said hello.
They dance.
On the other end of the line. Now it's Christmas, Christmas. I'm hurrying on my way.
They gaze at each other longingly as they dance.
Christmas, like I'm riding in a one-horse sleigh.
They put their seatbelts on in the car.
Last stop. You ready?
Ready.
He takes off his hat and smooths his hair.
Don't worry. It does this sometimes. You just gotta...
Jane looks to him with a furrowed brow and eyes wide as he looks from the wheel to her. A car repair shop. A mechanic takes a look under the hood.
Well, could be a few things. Best case scenario, it's a shop battery.
Worst case scenario?
Well, if it's the alternator, you need to leave it here for a day or two while we hunt down the park.
Oh, no, we don't have a day or two. We cannot get stuck here.
Is there anything that you can do?
He shakes his head.
I was just about to lock up when I got the call. It's Christmas Eve.
I know it's a lot to ask, but it would really mean a lot to us if you could help us out.
Please.
She gives him puppy dog eyes.
All right.
Yeah?
Tell you what.
He hands them a pad.
Leave your number on the pad. Give me an hour. I can't promise anything, but I'll do the best I can.
Okay. Thank you.
Got
so
it.
Much.
Yep.
Paul hands it back. They walk down a decorated path.
We don't have time for this.
The mechanic said it would be an hour. We'll be back on the road by 4:30. We'll be cutting it close, but we'll get there.
Yeah, that's if he can fix it. I mean, the tree lighting ends at 8. What if anybody who knows me... is gone before I can get there. And then I'm back to where I started. What am I gonna do?
They both look toward where the music is coming from. There's a church across the way with an open door. Two doors with wreaths and signs that say Merry Christmas. One door opens and Jane and Paul walk in. Paul gestures to the left. They move that way. Singers in red robes are singing. They sit in a pew and watch them. The singers stand on the altar next to a Christmas tree. Jane watches the singers with soft eyes. Paul looks at her. He holds her hand. She looks down at his hand holding hers. She looks up at him. He looks at her. They hold each other's gaze for a moment. They look forward and watch the singers. They look at each other. They smile closed lip smiles. They exit the church. A dog comes running up to them.
Oh, hey.
Oh, hi, hi.
Hi, buddy. Where'd you come from? Did you see his owner?
They look around.
No.
Are you lost? Yeah. I know the ceiling.
Check his collar. See if his address is on there.
Okay. No, wait! Stop! No!
Wait! Wait!
She runs after the dog. Paul checks his watch, then runs after them. Sheriff opens the purple suitcase. The
plow guy found this while he was salting the back roads. Recognized it from a description we put out. There's a few articles of clothing in here. We got a t-shirt, a pair of jeans.
He looks through the suitcase. He pulls out a laptop.
Let's see what you can pull off of that.
It's been in the river for a few days.
Yeah, well, it's worth a shot.
He looks back down at the suitcase.
Huh.
He holds up a pink child sweater with a big sequined heart on it.
What do you make of that? I don't know. Maybe she's got a little one at home.
Should we call her Jane Doe?
No. Let's see what we get off the laptop first.
The officer takes the laptop out. The sheriff holds the sweater. Jane and Paul approach a house with the dog.
There's no car in the driveway.
It's Christmas. They might be away.
The door opens.
Sorry. Can I help you?
They look down to the dog.
Oh, sweetheart.
We were so worried about you.
He slipped through the fence last night. My son's been looking for him all morning. Where did you find him?
Outside the church. Just happened to be at the right place at the right time, I guess.
I stopped believing in coincidences a long time ago, especially at Christmas.
They smile.
I can't thank you both enough.
Well, we're just happy that he's home.
Do you mind just waiting here for 1 second? Just hang on.
She disappears into the house. Jane and Paul wait at the door. She returns.
These are winter family Christmas croissants. We make them at my bakery, but they are my husband's favorites.
Oh, thank you.
Seriously, thank you both so much. Merry Christmas.
Oh, Merry Christmas.
She closes the door and they take their croissants and walk away.
All right, well, we should get back to the garage.
Mm-hmm. He checks his watch.
Hey, the car isn't fixed. We'll get a train. Or a cab. Something. Figure it out.
She smiles. He looks at her.
I won't leave you until you're where you belong. I promise.
Thank you.
He hands her the croissants.
Here, why don't you take those?
She takes it and looks at the snowman wrapping paper. White flash.
Hello?
She holds a present in the foyer.
Merry Christmas, Rebecca.
Oh, Merry Christmas, Mark.
They hug. White flash.
Jane.
She looks up at him.
Rebecca.
He eyes her.
Who's Rebecca?
I'm Rebecca.
He stares blankly.
I have a name and it's Rebecca. Rebecca, that's a good name, right?
That is a great name. It's a great name. Rebecca who?
I don't know. I don't even care.
She jumps into his arms. They pull apart and they gaze at each other smiling.
Rebecca, I...
He checks his phone.
Now we're done.
She nods.
We should get back.
His eyes wander.
Yeah.
He turns to go. He glances back at her, then keeps walking. She follows. We float above snow-covered rooftops of a town.
Hello?
They walk into the repair shop.
Just give me a sec, guys. Hope for the best. We're due for some good news.
Rebecca tucks her hair behind her ear.
It's Mark.
He furrows his brow.
Who?
Man of my memories.
Are you sure?
She nods.
I'm sure.
Paul stares blankly, then looks down.
He must be pretty important then if you keep remembering him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's a good thing, right? Because he'll be waiting for you there. And... we'll get your answers.
She nods.
Right.
They gaze longingly at each other. She looks at her phone. Caller ID says Sheriff Crowley.
Sheriff Crowley's calling.
She turns away and answers it.
Hello?
Paul blinks.
You did?
She turns back and shoots Paul a look.
Uh-huh. No.
Paul watches her, tilts his head.
Merry Christmas to you too.
She hangs up.
They find anything?
She looks up, her brow furrowed.
In my suitcase.
She turns around.
Is there anything useful inside?
She slowly walks back towards him.
Yeah, my laptop, which they... they can't get on. Some clothes. A sweater? Little girl sweater?
Paul's eyes widen.
Could I be a mom?
Her jaw drops, his face softens.
How could I forget something like that?
She raises her eyebrows.
A child, my own child.
Paul's eyes wander.
Good news. You're all set. Replace the battery.
The battery, that's all it was.
But you got yourselves a Christmas miracle.
He throws Paul the keys. He turns to look at Rebecca, who slowly puts on her mittens. He touches her hand.
Let's get you home.
She nods and turns away. Paul looks down, then follows her. We watch from directly above as cars drive down a highway past a snowy town. We see Rebecca staring out the window through the side view mirror. She looks at Paul. He looks at the radio, then turns the volume up. They look at each other and smile. She bobs her head to the music. He smiles as he drives. He puts his arm on the side door and leans his head on his hand. They smile at each other again. Her smile fades and she exhales. He watches the road, then catches a glimpse of her looking out the window with her brows tensed and mouthing some of the words to the song. From above, the car snakes through an empty road with tall conifer forests on each side. We see the car ride off down the road as the sun sets. Mama just called and said it's time. Cars drive down a town road at night. The wipers wick snowflakes away off the car as they drive.
I think you should call her.
Who?
Marissa.
Paul looks back at the road.
It's hard enough as it is just making the trip. I don't think I can face her.
She watches him.
I think you should try.
He glances at her.
Why is this so important to you?
In less than an hour, I'm gonna find out what's waiting for me in Charleston.
He looks to her with a tense brow, then back to the road.
But even if I get my answers, I'm not sure I'll be okay unless I know you're okay too.
He looks at her. She smiles. He smiles back. They look out the front window. Their car drives past a sign that reads, "Welcome to Charleston, South Carolina." Their car pulls in front of a banner. Rebecca gets out.
Wait, you're back. Hey, I'm gonna park the car and then I'll meet you inside.
Okay, I'll be at the tree.
Okay.
See you there.
Yeah.
She closes the door and walks in. He drives away. We move to the banner that reads, "Charleston Annual Christmas Tree Lighting." From behind a decorated Christmas tree, we find Rebecca walking through the market looking around. The inner corners of her eyebrows raise as she looks about her. She stops and doubles back for a moment. We see Mark in the background turn and look at her. He slowly walks towards her.
Rebecca?
She turns around.
You made it!
He opens his arms and wraps her in an embrace. Paul walks through the market searching for her. He stops. He sees her and Mark hugging with a young girl beside them. Paul freezes and stares at them.
I'm so glad you're here. I was worried you wouldn't come.
You're here! I missed you!
The girl hugs her. Paul's eyes lower. He swallows and walks away.
I really missed you.
Rebecca looks to Mark.
Mark.
Yes.
She furrows her brow and studies him.
Why are you looking at me like that?
He blinks at her.
Dad, can I go chat with Ava?
Sure, let's stay close.
I'll see you later.
Okay. I don't know who you are.
He furrows his brow.
What do you mean you don't know who I am?
I mean, I thought that when I saw your face, it would all just come back to me, but I still don't.
Rebecca, what's going on?
She stares at him.
Rebecca?
A woman appears.
It's you. I cannot believe it. You have some nerve coming here.
Rebecca furrows her brow.
I'm sorry? You should be. Mom and Dad have been trying to reach you for days. They are beside themselves with worry.
Annie, I'm sure that she has a very good explanation.
She can't answer her phone? Are you ignoring their calls, too? Oh,
sweetheart.
Did you know about this?
He glances to Rebecca.
Yes, but...
And you didn't tell me. Mark.
White flash. Hello? Rebecca enters with a present.
Rebecca! Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas, Mark! Oh, where's Annie?
There you are. Just in time for dinner.
Come here! Oh, it's so good to see you.
Oh, you look great.
Oh my gosh, you look great.
Would you let me if I had?
I remember.
They both look at her.
What?
Oh my gosh, I remember just like they said I would. You're Annie.
Annie raises her brows.
You're my sister.
Okay, what is going on?
I don't know. She's been acting very strangely since she got here.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, I made a horrible mistake.
She looks around her. She holds her palm up to them, then runs away. They watch her. Annie holds up her palms.
Paul?
Rebecca searches through the market.
Paul?
She steps up to look down another path.
Paul?
She sits down on a bench. She shakes her head slightly and closes her eyes. White flash.
This turkey's amazing, but I am totally stuffed.
You did good. Mm-hmm. How's everything at your office?
Annie, Mark, Rebecca, and the girl eat at the table.
Well, I've been waiting to have you off together to tell you.
You got the promotion. I knew it.
No, actually, I have decided to pursue my writing full-time.
Annie lowers her head.
You know, I've got 3 short stories published this year, and it's time to make the leap.
Mark looks to Annie.
Well, that sounds very exciting.
Mm-hmm. What are you going to do about money? Insurance? Have you thought of any of these things?
Of course I have. I've saved up enough to get me through the next 6 months.
And then?
And then I will reassess Annie.
Come on, Peanut. Time for bed.
Mark and the girl get up from the table. Rebecca pats the girl on the arm. Annie and Rebecca look at each other from across the table.
You can't just drop all of your responsibilities to chase some silly little dream.
Rebecca scoffs.
I mean, what are you going to do about the nursing home? You agreed to pay for half the price. You know that Mom and Dad cannot handle it on their own.
I said I would, and I will.
How?
I will figure it out.
You could not wait till after Christmas. You had to do this
now. I should have known that you were going to react like this.
What?
You have never trusted me to make my own decision.
Well, how can I when you go and do something like this?
Once in my life, I would like to feel like you believed in me.
Oh, grow up.
Oh, my gosh. I shouldn't have come. This was a mistake.
I am trying to help you.
Yeah, well, maybe I'd be better without it.
She walks to the door.
Wait.
She turns around to face Mark.
Please don't do this.
Merry Christmas, Mark.
She leaves. Mark watches her go, then turns to see Annie down the hall. White flash.
Just give her time.
Mark stands next to the bench. Rebecca looks off, shakes her head.
Guessing Annie didn't think I'd come?
I don't think she thought it was a possibility.
He sits with her.
Look, I love you and I love my wife, but you both can be incredibly stubborn sometimes.
She shakes her head.
Last Christmas, you two said some things you probably wish you hadn't.
So you invited me here without telling her or without telling me I wasn't welcome?
I knew deep down that neither of you wanted to spend another Christmas apart.
What do I say to her?
Say what you feel. I mean, this is your chance.
She lowers her eyes.
What if she doesn't forgive me?
Mark smiles.
She will.
He lowers his eyes slightly, then looks up at her.
Someone just needs to make the first move.
She looks at him with a tense face, then looks away and nods. A house decorated for Christmas.
Retrograde amnesia.
Amnesia?
Well, are you hurt? What'd the doctor say?
Bumps and bruises, honestly.
I cannot believe this. You spent the whole last week alone?
No, not alone.
She shakes her head, and his eyes wander.
I'm glad you're okay.
I need to go and check on Casey.
Of course. Yeah, sure.
She walks out. Rebecca watches her go.
Here, let me help you with those.
Okay. Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, of course.
He takes her bags and leads her into the house. Paul sits in the driver's seat of his car as snow falls gently. He's holding the hat that Rebecca gave him and looking at it. He picks up his phone and dials.
Hi. It's Paul.
From behind an open door, we see Rebecca sitting on a bed looking at the newspaper clipping. She looks up and smiles. She sees pictures of her and her family on the dresser. She stares at them contemplating. She looks down at her journal. She looks up and taps it on her knee a couple times, then gets up. Two cups of tea are picked up and brought to Paul sitting at a table by Marissa. She sits down.
How's Maine?
Snowy.
So I've heard. Sugar?
No. Thank you.
Well, it was good to hear from you, Paul. It's been a while.
He looks down.
Yeah, sorry.
I understand. I'm sure the hospital keeps you very busy.
He averts his gaze and bites his lip.
It's not what I meant.
He stares at the table. He tries to look at her.
I'm really sorry that I wasn't here for you when you needed me. You know, when Ben needed me.
She looks down.
He understood how hard it was for you to see him like that.
He smiles.
But I'm a nurse, and I see that stuff every day. I couldn't even...
He shakes his head and looks down.
Ben wanted to keep the worst of it from you. He was always trying to protect you.
She smiles.
He was so, so proud of you, Paul. And he loved you very much.
He looks at her, then lowers his eyes.
He never blamed you. And neither did I.
His eyes well with tears.
I miss him.
He smiles.
I know. Me too.
He nods, then looks up.
I didn't even say goodbye.
He shakes his head. He looks off and licks his lip.
There's so many things that I wanted to tell him that I needed to tell him.
She touches his arm.
So tell him. He'll be listening.
He touches her hand. He smiles. Annie dries dishes in her kitchen. Annie ambles in with her journal. Annie glares at her, then puts some mugs away in a cupboard.
I shouldn't have left that night.
Annie keeps putting away her mugs.
And I never should have waited an entire year to apologize.
Annie walks back to the counter.
I do have a confession to make, though.
Annie finally looks up to her. Rebecca hesitates.
I'm not supposed to be here. I wasn't planning on coming.
Annie's eyes widen and she turns her back to her.
I rented a cabin up in Maine. I was planning on spending Christmas there working alone. The storm hit, the accident happened, and I never made it there. Mark had sent me that invitation, and I chose to ignore it.
Annie folds a towel.
But when I couldn't remember who I was, I looked at the clipping and I thought that you were headed here.
She nods. Annie lowers her head.
The only thing that mattered to me was finding out who I was and who I belonged to.
Annie glances up at her. Tears fill Rebecca's eyes. She licks her lips and looks down at her journal. She hands it to Annie. Annie slowly looks up at it.
What's this? It's a gift from a friend.
Annie takes it.
Open it.
She looks at her while she undoes the ribbon and opens it.
Their stories that I wrote along the way.
Annie's eyebrows raise slightly as she looks.
Annie, even when I had nothing left, even when I didn't know who I was, I had this.
The inner corners of Rebecca's brow raise.
This is who I am.
Annie stares at her.
And I know that you think that is just some silly dream, but it's my dream.
It's not a silly dream.
She smiles slightly.
But I worry about you, Rebecca. I'm your sister.
She shrugs.
It's my job.
Rebecca hugs her.
I don't want to fight anymore. I don't want another year to go by where we're not talking, okay? I miss you.
They hold their embrace.
I missed you too.
Rebecca looks ahead of her in their embrace. She sees a pie sitting on the counter.
Is that cherry pie?
Yep. That's a... That's for the party tomorrow.
I don't think anyone would miss a piece.
Annie smiles.
I'm really glad it came in.
They hug again.
Me too.
Okay, because it's Christmas Eve, your mom and I decide you can open one present.
But only one.
Mark takes out a wrapped present and gives it to Casey. Rebecca smiles as she watches her open it. Annie smiles at Rebecca. Rebecca smiles back, then tilts her head. Rebecca unzips her bag on the bed. She takes out some clothes. She looks in the bag and takes out the red envelope. She opens it and reads the handwritten letter from Paul.
Jane, if you're reading this, it means that you've finally reached your destination. I hope the life waiting for you is worthy of the amazing person that you are. I wanted to thank you for making a hard trip one of the highlights of my life. I'm not sure I could have done it without you. Have a very Merry Christmas. I hope you get everything you want. Paul.
She runs her thumb over his signed name. She looks up with a furrowed brow. She holds a letter to her heart and licks her lips. We float over snowy rooftops, a headstone engraved with Ben Bennett.
Sorry it took so long to get here.
Paul stands over the grave.
Sometimes it's easy to get lost along the way.
He holds Ben's present. He jerks his head as he's overwhelmed with tears.
Miss you.
He glances around him briefly.
You know, after you died, all I could think about was all the times that I could have just gotten my car, come see you. I could have picked up the phone to call you.
He shuts his eyes.
Till it just became easier not to think about you at all.
He looks at the present and shakes his head.
I don't want that, Ben. I want to remember yesterday and bring you with me tomorrow. You know, no regrets. We don't know how long we get, you know?
He looks up, twisting his mouth.
As long as there's a tomorrow. It's worth seeing what can happen.
He looks down at the grave.
That's what I'm going to do.
He looks down at the present.
Merry Christmas, Ben.
He sets the present on the grave.
Hello.
He smiles and walks away. Paul walks past Albion Pizzeria at night and turns into the Stone Street Inn.
You're right.
Rebecca appears.
This is the only hotel in this entire town.
He looks at her and smiles.
What are you doing here?
You left before I got a chance to say goodbye.
Oh. So you're here to say goodbye?
No. I am here to invite you to our Christmas party. Something wild, just friends and family.
Your memories?
She nods.
Got them back. Just like Dr. Grant said I would.
He shrugs.
That's great.
Yeah, my sister was there, waiting for me at the tree lighting ceremony. My brother-in-law, Mark.
He looks up.
Brother-in-law.
And my niece. You know, I had to explain to her why the sweater I bought her was still up in Maine. In a very soggy suitcase, so I hadn't had a chance yet to mail it.
They smile at each other.
Everything I wanted was waiting for me. Family, forgiveness. I thought I'd be happy. I am happy, but there's still something missing.
He stares at her longingly.
When I finally made it home and got to see a lifetime full of memories, I realized that I've never quite met anyone like you.
He smiles broadly.
Well, I've definitely never met anyone like you.
You said you hoped I got what I wanted for Christmas. This is it. It's you.
She smiles. He kisses her. She pulls away and smiles at him as she holds his neck. He smiles and kisses her again. We float away as they stand in front of the inn in an embrace. Barbara, the innkeeper, opens a wooden box and takes out the reindeer ornament her husband made and puts it on the tree.
The pies are in the oven. You can almost taste the air.
Katie and Jack stand in their kitchen looking at a blueprint of a restaurant.
I know how much she cares.
It's funny how
going
can get you back where you belong.
The woman whose dog they found enters a living room with a tray of hot chocolate. She pets her dog. The sheriff sits at his desk looking at his phone and smiles at a photo of Rebecca with her family. Annie and Mark's home at night.
I'm hurrying on my way.
A tray of Christmas cookies. Casey approaches and takes a cookie off the tray. We follow her into the living room where Mark and Annie talk with Marissa next to a Christmas tree. Paul watches them from the next room. Rebecca walks up behind him and nudges his shoulder. He turns to her. They put their arms around each other. They watch the party.
Must be nice. Finally knowing where you belong.
She nods.
Yeah. It is.
They look at each other and kiss. They smile and turn back to look at the party. She rests her head on his chest.